The risen Christ sees the gospel writers chose to be a part of this story because it was a part of the story. It's a true story. And one of the main characters this morning, as you're going to see in the Gospel of John here this morning, chapter 20, is Mary. Mary Magdalene. We'll talk a little bit later about who that is. But she's one of the main characters. The risen Jesus sees Mary as she is, and he loves her. And this morning, Jesus sees us in very much the same way. He sees us, and he loves us. And he offers to recreate us with resurrection life, with new life. Jesus, in fact, is in the new life business. That's what he wants to do. He offers new life to all. And he wants to transform and change hearts. God is recreating the world in and through Jesus Christ, and he wants to recreate us as well. So let's take a look. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. If you got your Bibles, there's pew Bibles in front of you. It'll be upstairs here. It's also written in the bulletin. On the insert, I believe. Let's take a look. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is he looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and in Aramaic said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and when she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us these words, this true story of the resurrection account, and that Mary was able to experience that first, and other disciples, and then later others, hundreds of others, got to see the resurrection, your resurrection. I ask you by your Spirit, through your word today, to speak into our hearts and lives and see what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, the empty tomb story. I mean, there's no resurrection without an empty tomb. If there was a tomb that was filled, it wouldn't be a resurrection story. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a good deal about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll look into a couple of those verses a little bit later. But if there's no resurrection, our faith is futile, Paul says. So the Christian faith stands and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's this Sunday we gather to celebrate that and remember. Notice again who's the first person, Mary, to witness this miracle. Mary Magdalene. And it says in the text, it says she was going to the tomb while it was still dark. Okay. The sun had gone down, of course, and it was daylight just coming. The other gospel stories, writers write that it was daylight. Well, likely it was starting, it was dark, but then the sun was coming up. And then it was just, there's no contradiction here in Scripture. It's all it is a different perspective of the gospel writers. Mary arrives at the tomb. She sees something that she doesn't expect. Not only Mary, but others didn't really quite understand that Jesus had to rise again from the Scriptures. They didn't quite understand. He told them, but they didn't quite get it. They didn't really get it. Well, when they saw the resurrected Jesus. Okay, Thomas, remember, he doubted. I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail marks. And then when he saw, he believed. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit was given, in Acts chapter 2, and Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down, and they finally got it, that Jesus had risen from the dead, and he had ascended back into heaven. Jesus said, unless I go, I cannot send my Spirit, but I will send him when I go. They finally got it. So she runs off. Mary runs off and finds Peter and the other disciple. The other disciple is John. That's the way he referred to himself, the one Jesus loved. So it's the Apostle John, it's the disciple John, the writer of the gospel. She's kind of panicking. She thinks that the body has been stolen away. So she runs and tells them. And she actually refers to stealing of the body three times in the text, because that was common, I guess, back then, that there were grave robbers. They would steal the body, and I'm not sure what they would do if they would. I don't even want to think about that. What they're gonna, why they would steal the body? John outruns Peter, bends down, peers into the tomb, and saw nothing but the strips of linen. Not sure why John didn't go all the way in. John, they think John was younger, and so he could outrun Peter. He was faster. Not sure why he didn't. He looked into the tomb and he peered in, didn't see. He saw the linen cloths, but he didn't go all the way in. But Peter, bold Peter, that's like Peter, zips by John, goes right in, and sees what John sees. And then Peter, John, seeing Peter go in, goes in. And the text says he looked and saw the cloths all folded up nicely. If it was a grave robber, there wouldn't have been any grave clothes neatly folded like they saw. Grave robbers would have taken the body with the linens. They wouldn't have been like that. So that's a witness of the resurrection right there. The cloths are. The women, the claws, other things, evidence of the resurrection. Empty tomb. Testimony and the witness of the disciples. A number of things, evidence of the resurrection. The text says that he saw and believed. What did he believe? Well, most likely he saw the empty cave and believed Mary's story that the body had been taken. The next verse indicates the disciples still did not understand at this point that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They didn't quite get it. So not only had their Lord and teacher been brutally killed by crucifixion, which was the method of execution reserved for slaves and criminals, but now his body was gone and stolen. So for them, the story was seemingly over. It's all done. The body's gone. And then, I don't quite understand what happens next, but okay, the disciples, John and Peter, go into the tomb. They see that the linen cloths are there. Jesus' body is not there. He's not there. He's gone. And the text says they went back home. What? Mary's weeping. outside the church. She's weeping. She's crying. She's distraught. They've stolen the body. And the disciples just went home. What? No compassion for Mary? Did you not see her there? Who's this Mary Magdalene now? So she's from Magdala, was a fishing village. And very likely, many believe that Mary Magdala was one of the women that had some influence as far as monetarily, and that she funded Jesus' mission to spread the good news of the gospel. And Mary followed them around. She was the one that was delivered from seven spirits, demons. Mary Magdala. And she's one of the first witnesses of the resurrection. And now the story starts to get interesting. Still weeping, Mary bends down to look into the tomb. What does she see? Angels! Two of them. See, they were dressed in white where Jesus' body had been. The angels ask what seems to be a ridiculous question. Woman, why are you crying? Mary's still convinced that a tomb robbery has taken place. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. At that point, Mary turns around. I don't know if the angels were looking beyond Mary, or maybe she sensed someone behind her. But she turns and she sees who she thinks is, she doesn't recognize him right away, because they were in a garden. This is the garden tomb. Must be the gardener. She didn't recognize him. And this person asks her, similar to what the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Now, can I just pause for a moment? Something beautiful is emerging from this story, and I don't want us to miss it. Something very beautiful is emerging in this story. I don't want us to miss it. John is showing us how Jesus' resurrection is a recreation story. He's given us some hints that point back to both the beginning of his gospel, John, and also to the beginning of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. How does Genesis, the first book of the Bible, start? In the beginning, God who always was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did John's gospel begin? John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus. Recreation. What does Genesis say about the earth in the beginning, those first chapters? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. How does our story open this morning, John 20? While it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. So we have darkness in Genesis, darkness here in John. Where is Mary standing? And where's the tomb located? In the garden. Where does the account of Adam and Eve take place? In the garden. The story of Adam and Eve is one that begins with a death. But because of the goodness of God and... Wait, sorry, come back. The story of Adam and Eve is one that begins with life, hello. But because of sin, ends with death. Story here in our story begins with a death, but because of the goodness of God, ends with resurrection life. The resurrection of Jesus reverses the curse from Genesis and recreates the world. God's in the recreating business. That's what He's been doing from the very beginning, recreating the world and human beings, and He's in the recreating business for hearts, human hearts. He wants to mold and shape the heart of stone that you were given, and He wants to infuse, I could say, put into shape, mold, create, recreate your heart into a new heart. In fact, Paul said, therefore, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus is in the recreating of heart business. That's what He wants to do in your life, if He hasn't already. What did God do after He removed Adam and Eve from the garden? A flaming sword, something else in front of the tree of life to protect it. What else did He place there? Angels! How about in our story today? And who do we have sitting in the empty tomb dressed in white asking Mary why she's weeping? Angels. Wouldn't it be cool if they were the same angels? We don't know, but they could have been. Could be. God might have said something like, hey, you two, I'm reassigning you. Your work here is done, but because I've abolished the barrier to the tree of life. In fact, my son is the tree of life. Why don't you head over to this new garden where something incredible just happened? Jesus came out of the grave. He's risen. He's risen indeed. New life. He's recreating the world, one person, one heart at a time. So a few hints from John that this is a recreation story. Jesus, mistaken as a gardener, just asked Mary, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Mary, for the third time, states that the body has been taken. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him. She's still distraught. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary, similar to what He did with Lazarus. Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb. Jesus comes. Roll that stone away. They roll the stone away. Lazarus, come on out! New life. He recreates Lazarus. He comes to life again. It's a wonderful thing Jesus called her by name. He knows her. He sees her. Peter and John left the garden without supporting her, acknowledging her pain, but Jesus takes the time to see her, and He loves her. Calls her by name. So this morning, I want you to see that too. Would you? Know that God sees you. He calls you by name. And He loves you. He doesn't necessarily pay attention to your social media posts or the veneer you wear around yourself to protect yourself from truly being seen. He sees you and loves you exactly the way you are. He sees your hurts. He sees your disappointments. He sees your resentments. He sees your hopes. He sees your dreams. He sees the desires of your heart. He sees you and He loves you. Mary. So she gets pretty excited, and she says, Rabbi, which means teacher. And what does He tell her to do? Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary went to the disciples with the news. She becomes a witness to the resurrection. She says, I've seen the Lord. You're not going to believe this. You're right, we're not going to believe it because we haven't seen it. I've seen the Lord. He's risen. The first garden story ends with them being expelled because of sin and death. The second garden story ends with Mary being sent out on assignment with good news of life and resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of recreation. Jesus says, "I am making everything new." Revelation chapter 21. By everything, he means you too. He means you too. His resurrection life and power is available to you if you want it. If you want it. John's gospel says God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God does not condemn you. God has no animosity toward you. Zero. He loves you and he has reconciled you to himself because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. All you need to do is turn and accept that you're reconciled. The resurrection is the turning point of history. It's when God in Christ began recreating the world, and he's going to heal it all one day. He'll heal everything. He'll heal it all. He's going to wipe every tear from every eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older thing, the old order of things is now passing away. Death has been defeated. Death has been arrested, like we sang in that song. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that he has overcome death. Jesus had to endure death. He had to go through it and experience it in order to overcome it. There was no going around it or avoiding it. He had to go through it, and he took it on. He endured it. He overcame it. That means death itself has been defeated. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And since death has been defeated, we no longer need to live in fear of death." Maybe you have in the past. Maybe you are now. You're fearing death. You don't have to. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, encourages us, we don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus overcame death and defeated it. He says this, the writer to Hebrews, "By his death, Jesus, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death." That's the devil. "And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Paul again says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Have you lived in fear of death? No longer need to. Let Jesus be our example. He had to endure it in order to overcome it. We too will one day endure it. But because of Christ, we will overcome it. We no longer need to live in fear. One day death won't be defeated. It will be completely destroyed and gone for all eternity. One day. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Notice the Bible says that death will be destroyed, not just defeated, destroyed, gone, obliterated, no more in existence. That will be a wonderful and most glorious day when death is finally defeated forever. Jesus is alive. He's risen. Amen. God is recreating the world through him, and God wants to recreate you too. Jesus sees you, and he calls you by name. There's nothing to fear, not even death. Let go of the sin and shame seeking to enslave you. Death has been defeated, and a new life is offered to you. "So the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, if you want it." Jesus is yours, both now and forever, by simply saying yes to him by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Resurrection Sunday. We gather in Jesus' name. Thank you for new life. Thank you that we don't have to fear death any longer. Thank you that you have defeated death. You've conquered the grave. You've raised yourself from the grave. You are now ascended back into heaven and sitting at the mercy seat of God in heaven, the throne of grace. And God, that you are looking down upon us, showering your grace. And through your Spirit, we can continue this life here on earth victorious. And we can live both now and forever with Jesus. And so we thank you for that awesome thing. And Lord, we want to lift up our voices now to you because you are the victor and you have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.